Will you please turn to the Gospel according to Matthew? Matthew chapter 28, we'll read the last three verses, 18, 19, and 20. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus coming up spoke to them, saying, All power has been given me in heaven and upon earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them to the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have enjoined you. And behold, I am with you all the days until the completion of the age. Same gospel according to Matthew chapter 6. Verses 9 and 10. Thus therefore pray ye, Our Father, who art in the heavens, let thy name be sanctified, let thy kingdom come, and let thy will be done as in heaven, so upon the earth. The book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 12. Verses 10 and 11. And I heard a great voice in the heaven saying, Now is come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and of the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren has been cast out, who accused them before our God day and night. And they have overcome him by reason of the blood of the Lamb, and by reason of the word of their testimony, and have not loved their life, even unto death. Chapter 11, Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were great voices in the heaven, saying, The kingdom of the world of our Lord and of his Christ is come, and he shall reign to the ages of ages. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank thee because thou hast brought us to this point. It is all thy mercy and grace. And we do thank thee that thou allow us to meet again in the name of thy beloved Son. We know that we are in thy presence, and we just ask thee that thou wilt speak to us through thy word. Thy words are life and spirit to us. We pray that through thy word, Thy work may be done in us as it is in heaven. And to Thee be the glory. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. This is the last ministry session of this conference. Thank God we have been considering together before him on this matter of thy kingdom come. We have considered this matter of the gospel of the kingdom of the heavens. You know, sometimes we think the kingdom of heaven, it's not much of a gospel, a good news. Now, to those who do not know the Lord, or to those who know the Lord and yet not follow the Lord, the kingdom is a bad news. But to those who belong to Him and who love Him, the kingdom is really the best news. There can be no better news than the news that the King is coming, that He is to have His kingdom, and He has included us in that kingdom. As our brother has already mentioned, when we think of the kingdom, we think of the kingship. We think of our Lord Jesus as our King. Who can be a better King than our Lord Jesus? He is the best King. And to be under His kingship, under His rulership, to be served by Him, that is the greatest blessing. Now, it is true, as our brother has already mentioned, in order to get the kingdom, we need to seize it by violence. And the violent seizes it by force. It is true that we have to be violent to ourselves, to deny ourselves, to take up the cross and follow Him. And it seems as if it is very difficult, it is impossible for us to enter and to gain the kingdom. But thank God, there's grace there. It is only by His grace that we are able to attain the kingdom. And His grace is always there. His grace is sufficient for each day. And then we consider together all this matter of the kingdom and the cross. Sometimes when we think of the kingdom, we think of the throne. We never think of the cross. Who will want the cross? But everybody desires the throne. The early disciples of our Lord Jesus, they are no different from us. They all want to sit at the right and the left of our Lord Jesus without drinking the cup that the Lord is drinking and be baptized with the baptism that our Lord is baptized with. But without the cross, there can be no kingdom. Even our King, He has to go to the cross in order to have His kingdom. The cross is the very nature of that kingdom. Therefore, brothers and sisters, thank God for the cross, because it is the way to the kingdom of God. Then we consider together all this matter of the kingdom and the church, because we find in the Word of God that the kingdom and the church in spiritual reality are the same. They are the two aspects of the same thing. When we talk about the church, we think of life, the life that our Lord has given to us. And when we think of the kingdom, we think of authority. Life is authority. And authority has to be exercised in life. We think of the church as fellowship. Then we think of the kingdom as discipline. So, brothers and sisters, we find that the kingdom and the church in spiritual reality are one and the same thing. But in history, they are different. There are times when the church and the kingdom seems to run together, And at other time, we find the kingdom actually is bigger than the church. Now, how can the church be built? The church is built by the kingdom. That is, by the kingdom principles. Unless we hold fast the head, there is no way of us being united together and joined together as the body of Christ. Unless we know the government of God, we will be all scattered and cannot be put together. Unless we know the discipline of the Holy Spirit, there is no way that we can be united as one. So, brothers and sisters, it is the kingdom that builds the church. Now, this morning, we would like to consider before the Lord the last thing, and that is the church brings in the kingdom. The church is the instrument of God in preaching the gospel of the kingdom. When our Lord Jesus was on earth, He Himself preached the gospel of the kingdom. And then after His death and resurrection, before His ascension, in the gospel according to Matthew, He met His disciples on a mountain in Galilee. And there He came to them and said, "All power has been given Me in heaven and on earth." Now, of course, as the Son of God, as God, all power, all authority were all His eternally. But when our Lord Jesus said all power and authority has been given Me, we know that He is given the authority and the power over heaven and earth on the basis of His victory that He has won on Calvary's cross. He is given that authority and power by God the Father as the Son of Man. He has authority because He has overcome. He has on the cross judged the God of this world. He has spoiled principalities and authorities and has publicly displayed them as His spoils. He has overcome death. He has the keys of death and Hades. In other words, He has wrestled from the usurper the authority. The power is now His. And He is going to establish His kingdom upon this earth. You cannot establish a kingdom without power, without authority. But now authority and power has all been given to Him. Therefore He said, "You go." On the basis of that, you can go and preach the gospel of the kingdom. We call this the Great Commission. And in Christianity, we consider this Great Commission as a commission to the church to go to the world and evangelize the world. Now, it is true. This is included. But this is much more than just evangelizing. Because our Lord Jesus Himself, who gives this great commission, as our brother mentioned yesterday, He said, go and disciple all the nations. And we know discipleship is more than just preaching the gospel of forgiveness, remission of sins, receiving Jesus as Savior. We know that discipleship means that after you have come to the Lord, you need to put yourself under His authority. To be a disciple is to be a learner, to learn of Him, to put yourself under your Master. Let Him control your life. Let Him train you so that you may be transformed and be like Him. So we know that the gospel that the church is to bring to the world is the gospel of the King. We have a King, and He is building His kingdom upon this earth. To disciple all nations. People will come to Him and put themselves under His training, baptizing them to the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, why baptism? What does baptism mean? It simply means this. By being baptized, you go into death, burial, and resurrection. That is to say, you die to your past. Not only your past history, but you die to your past life. You die to everything in the past and get it buried. Disappear from sight. So that you can come up in resurrection in newness of life. Baptism means that from now on, you no longer belong to Pharaoh. The children of Israel, as they passed through the Red Sea, they were baptized. They were dead to Pharaoh, dead to the world, and they were made alive unto God. So when the children of Israel were baptized, they came out of one realm, of one world, and they enter into a different world. Now, brothers and sisters, this is the reason why when the gospel is preached, when people receive the gospel, they have to be baptized. They have to let the past completely go. And they belong now to a new King, to a new Master, our Lord Jesus Christ. That is baptism. But that is only an initiation into the kingdom. Unless we let go everything, unless we be completely His, He is not able to continue His work in us. And that's the reason why having baptized them, then teach them all things that I have enjoined you. In other words, you are now in a position to learn. In a position to learn of Him. And he promises us that he will be with us until the completion of the age. In other words, this will continue on until his coming. Now this is the Great Commission. And thank God the early church knew what that commission was. Because you'll find the first preaching you'll find in the early church. You cannot be earlier than that, because this is the first day that the church was born. And there on the day of Pentecost, you find the Apostle Peter stood up with the 11, and he gave a message preaching on the kingdom of God. And he concluded his message with, "Let all you Israel know that the one whom ye have crucified, God has exalted him and has made him Lord and Christ." Now, what kind of message is this? It is the message of the kingdom. Here is a king whom you rejected, but God recognized. And this is the king that you have to yield yourself to. And when they heard this, of course they were pricking hard. Why? Because they knew they did the wrong thing. They have to repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sins, that they may receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So in the beginning you'll find the church did preach the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom. And when that gospel was preached, you know what result? What was resulted? 3,000 came into the kingdom of God in one day. And continuously, you find God added to them. You go through the book of Acts, because that is the history of the early church. And you come to the last chapter, chapter 28. And here you'll find the Apostle Paul. He was a prisoner in Rome. And yet in his own rented apartment, he was able to preach the kingdom of God and teach the things concerning our Lord Jesus for 2 years unhinderedly. In other words, no matter what opposition there was in the world, the church is still preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And God was with him. When the church preaches the gospel of the kingdom, they prosper. But unfortunately, we find gradually the church began to preach half a gospel instead of the full gospel. We find the church began to preach only on the gospel of grace, of forgiveness of sins, of receiving the Lord Jesus as Savior, that you may go to heaven and not to hell. And in preaching such kind of gospel, you produce a whole harvest of Christians who are self-centered, because everything is for them. God is for them. Jesus Christ is for them. It is for their good. that Christ died on the cross. Now, it is true in a sense, but in another sense, you find that you produce a whole crop of believers who are saved, and yet they are self-centered, and they live their own lives. They want God to serve them, and when God did not serve them as quickly as they thought He should, they murmured, and they rebelled. Brothers and sisters, because of such preaching, you find a weak church. Furthermore, gradually you find the church is not preaching the gospel of the kingdom. They began to preach on the church. Now, brothers and sisters, when our Lord Jesus was on earth, He preached the gospel of the kingdom. He did mention the church, but He did not preach on the church. And by preaching the gospel of the kingdom, He got His church. But when the church began to preach on herself, in other words, the church began to be introspective, and we began to turn within ourselves, and began to see how we should organize ourselves, how we should be engaging all the activities, how we should absorb or draw people to us, and you'll find we are all be involved in methods, in programs, in ways, and we adopt the ways of the world and try just to build the church. Brothers and sisters, when you are doing that, not only the kingdom disappears, even the church disappears. And that is what has been happening, and it is still happening. Remember, when our Lord Jesus gave us this great commission, He wants us to go and preach the gospel of the kingdom. He wants us to go out and declare that there is a King. He is the King of heaven. But He has come upon this earth. He has overcome. He has every right to have this earth. And we are His. Brothers and sisters, the church is the instrument in God's hand to preach the kingdom of the heavens. Thank God, in recent decades, there seems to be a returning. As a matter of fact, you find in church history, whenever there is a recovery, a revival, a renewal, you find always that in the message at the moment, there is the element of the gospel of the kingdom. Thank God that in our days, it seems as if the gospel of the kingdom is gradually recovered. People began to talk about the headship of Christ. People began to talk about authority and submission. People began to talk about discipline. Now, it is true. The enemy knows, and he tries to come in and try to confuse us, because when we are talking about authority, we find that among God's people, authority is taught in such a way that it becomes human authority instead of divine authority. And people talk about submission to such a degree that you not only submit to God and obey God absolutely, but they demand that you obey man absolutely. They rule your life. Now, it is true in this matter of discipline. It is a principle of the kingdom. And yet you find it is taught to extreme and put people under other people and lose completely not only your liberty but even your personality. Now, it is true there are extremes, but thank God we do find in our days these teachings are coming back. And actually, they are of the gospel of the kingdom. What is needed is the real thing and not the counterfeit. We need to know the difference between the real and the false. And not because there are extremes, false teachings, and so forth, therefore we throw the whole thing away. Brothers and sisters, our King is coming. And it is time for us to put ourselves under His authority. It is time for us to be under His rulership. It is time to be disciplined by Him. So the kingdom must be preached. As our brother mentioned yesterday, in Matthew chapter 24, that the gospel of the kingdom must be preached throughout the nations. Then the end shall come. In preaching the gospel of the kingdom, you have to practice the principles of the kingdom yourself. Otherwise, our preaching will be in vain. We may preach the gospel of the kingdom, but we who preach that gospel and not put ourselves under the kingship of Christ, brothers and sisters, our preaching will be ineffective. So first of all, we who are the messengers of the gospel of the kingdom, we need to put ourselves under His kingship first. Be sure that this is the case. And then when we start to preach, you find the Holy Spirit will bear witness to our preaching. And people will come and put themselves under the kingship of Christ. So this is how the church brings in the kingdom, by preaching it. Secondly, the church brings in the kingdom by praying it in. You know, our theme is from the so-called Lord's Prayer. Our brother has already mentioned I'm always following their footsteps. The Lord taught His disciples to pray. The Lord taught His church to pray. Our Father, who art in the heavens, hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, I personally believe that the Lord would never teach us to pray that which He Himself has not prayed. So evidently, this is our Lord's Prayer. It is still true. Our Lord is so one with the Father. He knows the purpose of God. He knows the desire of God. He knows how God desires that His kingdom may come. His kingdom has suffered loss on this earth. And it is the desire of the Father that His kingdom will come upon this earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, His kingdom is there. He rules supreme, unchallenged. He is willingly and voluntarily served by countless numbers of angelic hosts. There in heaven you'll find a harmony there. But on earth, it's a different story. On earth we find there's resistance, opposition. On earth we find darkness there. So it is the desire, the longing of our God, our Father, to regain His kingdom, as it were, to recover His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And our Lord Jesus, who knew the Father's heart, one with the Father, so it was also His prayer, Thy kingdom come. How He longed to see His Father's kingdom come upon this earth. And that is the reason why He shared with us and said, now you pray too. Thy kingdom come. Brothers and sisters, He wants us to be one with Him. He wants us to share with Him in His burden. He wants us to desire what He desires and pray for it. You know, prayer is a mystery. We do not understand because we think that God, who is almighty, if He has a will, if He desires anything, He can do it all by Himself. He doesn't need any help. When He created the heavens and earth, He had no help. So why is it that He wants us to pray? As if we do not pray, He could not have His kingdom. It's a mystery. The only thing we know is, somehow it is His good pleasure, it pleases Him, that He wants us to cooperate with Him. He wants us to desire what He desires. He wants us to stand with Him. He likes it. This is the way He wants it to be. What a privilege it is. What an honor it is. We are told that what is prayer? Prayer actually does not begin with man. Prayer begins with God. There in God is a will. And then He reveals that will to those who are near to Him. And those who receive the revelation of that will, they are so in one with Him that they begin to pray to God concerning that will. They tell God, we want that will to be done. We want it to be done. As you will. And when we began to pray in this manner, he heard it. And he said, I'll do it. Now that's prayer. He shared with us his desire. In a sense, if we do not pray, then what will happen? You know, God is almighty. He can do everything. But have you ever thought that there is one creature that can limit God? And that's man. Man is the only creature that he has created who can limit him. If the church does not pray, thy kingdom come, his kingdom will not come. Do you realize how serious it is? Why? Well, it is the good pleasure of God. As if he said, now, unless you want it as I want it, unless you desire it as I so desire it, I'm willing not to have it. You know, when you really realize it, it overwhelms you. Oh, how he longs that we take up his desire. How he wish that we will pray to him, thy kingdom come. We cannot wait. We want thy kingdom to come as quickly as possible. Not for our sake, for your sake. We love you. We want you to have what you want. Brothers and sisters, through all the ages, can it be because the church is sleeping? When our Lord Jesus said, stay awake, watch with me, just for a moment. But we go to sleep. We let him pray all by himself. He is calling his church the vessel of his will to join with him in prayer. Thy kingdom come. Brothers and sisters, in the early church, you find they pray kingdom prayers. You know, today we pray small prayers, personal prayers, individual prayers. We pray for our needs. We pray for this and for that. But we do not know to pray the kingdom prayer. If you read the book of Acts, in chapter 4, you find when the apostles are being persecuted, they came back to their own and told them how the world was opposing the gospel, opposing the king. You find when the apostles are being persecuted, they came back to their own and told them how the world was opposing the gospel, opposing the king. What did they do? You find the whole company of believers. They join together with one accord and they pray the kingdom prayer. And earth shook. And they were given boldness to go out to preach the gospel. When Peter was put in prison, the Bible says the church prayed. And through the prayer of the church, God sent his angels to open iron gates and set his servant free, that he may continue on preaching the gospel of the kingdom. But brothers and sisters, such prayer has vanished. Can it be because we are praying our own prayers and not praying for the kingdom of God? And that's the reason why even today the kingdom of God has not been able to be publicly manifested on earth. The church has a tremendous responsibility here. You know, prayer is our weapon. We are engaged in a spiritual warfare. In this world, you'll find there are two kingdoms. There is a kingdom of darkness, and darkness around the whole earth. And then you'll find there is the kingdom of God among those who are discipled to Christ. And these two kingdoms are in collision. How are we going to face this warfare? What is our weapon? In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we are told that we are engaged in a warfare, but it is not against flesh and blood. Even though outwardly it is flesh and blood that is forcing upon us, persecuting, pressing upon us. But the Lord said, no, we are not fighting against flesh and blood. Our real enemy is the unseen foes. He hides behind everything, every man, every event. He hides himself behind them. But he is the real enemy. And the only way to fight against him is through prayer. How the enemy build up strongholds in people's mind. Over the years, over the ages, he has been building his strongholds. Many of them in human mind, in our imagination, in our perception, in our memory, in our thinking. You'll find he has built a tremendous stronghold in our mind. We are told that a battle of the mind is going on. And of course, the purpose is to reach the will, the citadel, which is the will. It is through the mind you get to the will. And brothers and sisters, how are we going to overthrow all the strongholds built through the years. Not only in those unbelievers, brothers and sisters, we find that even in the minds of believers, we who are the Lord's, we find that these strongholds are still there. You know, when we are saved, salvation, initial salvation, is a matter of the Spirit. He that is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Our dead spirit is quickened into life and become a new spirit. And the Spirit of God dwells in our spirit. That is new birth, regeneration. But what happened to our mind? Now, it is true, when we believe in the Lord Jesus, there is a kind of change in our mind, because repentance means a change of mind. But that change is for a moment. Basically, our mind is still the old mind. So that's the problem with believers today. We have a new spirit, but we carry an old mind. We still think in the old ways. We think, we still evaluate things in the old way. Our imagination is still held by the enemy. Sometimes God's truth cannot penetrate. You may hear, but you do not hear. Or you may hear and you misinterpret it. You interpret it by your darkened mind, reprobate mind. Oh, how our mind needs to be saved, delivered. All the strongholds that the enemy has built up through the years, our prejudice, preconceived ideas, all these need to be overturned. And every thought to be led in captivity to Christ, to the obedience of Christ. Now, how can this work be done? It can only be done by prayer, because our weapons are not carnal, but is powerful according to God. It is through prayer that we are able to destroy the works of the devil. And it is through prayer too that we may lose all that needs to be loosed. Whatsoever ye shall loose on this earth shall be loosed in heaven. Whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And we are told in the original, it says, whatsoever ye shall bind on the earth shall have been bound in heaven. Is not good English, but it is good biblical teaching. In other words, the will begins in heaven, is made known to earth, and the earth began to bind, and heaven said, I have bound it. And the same thing with loosening. Now, this is how the church, through prayer, is to bring in the kingdom. In 1904 and 1905, there was a revival in Wales, the Welsh revival. The Spirit of God moved in such a mighty way. Many came to the Lord. They said in some places the judges, they wear white gloves because there was no case to judge. And many of them were minors, rough people. And they got saved. And you know, they used donkeys to carry the load. And the donkey did not understand them anymore because they used a curse. The donkey didn't know what to do. They had a new tongue, new language. Tremendous revival. And the instrument used by God was a young man, Evan Roberts, a minor. He was a minor, but his heart was so burdened for the kingdom of God. He prayed a prayer in agony. Lord, bend the church and save the world. And God heard him. God used him mightily at that time. But after that revival, he disappeared. He was hidden for a number of years. And after a number of years, he came out again. And people asked him, what were you doing during these years? He said, I'm praying the kingdom prayer. I'm praying for the kingdom. The same thing happened to Charles G. Finney. During his later years, all he can pray is to pray, Thy kingdom come. The church needs to take up this burden. The church needs to pray that prayer. We are approaching the end. And I do believe that he wants many everywhere to start to pray, Thy kingdom come. If there is enough longing, enough crying to God for his kingdom, God cannot but bring his kingdom in. The Lord help us. Thirdly, the church is to bring in the kingdom by her testimony. Satan is called the ruler of this world. Where did he get his rulership? Now, I believe in prehistorical time, it was quite possible that God gave the rulership of this earth, our planet, or maybe our solar system, to that archangel. But because of his rebellion, it was taken off, away from him. And then God created man. And God gave the rulership of this earth to man. God said, have dominion over all the things in heaven and earth. and under the earth, in sea. So actually, the rulership of this earth, now the ownership is in God's hand. He never gave us his ownership. But the rulership of this earth he gave to man. But man surrendered it to the devil. So that's the reason why you find he is the ruler of this world. He organized this world into a cosmos, well organized. Whether it is political, economic, education, or even religious, social, whatever it is, you find everything is being organized and ruled by him. So when the King of Heaven came upon this earth, he came to a hostile world. The world has no place for him. He came to his own, and his own received him not. Not even a room in an inn. He was born in a manger. The King of Heaven came upon this earth. And the earth, the world, will not have him. Not only Herod wanted to get rid of him, the whole world rejected him. Not only the Roman world rejected him, the religious world, the Jewish world rejected him. Why? Because he was foreign to this earth. He did not belong to this world. He came out of heaven and came upon this earth. He was an invasion. The heaven invaded the earth in the person of our Lord Jesus. And of course you find how hostile the world is. In Psalm 2 you find the whole world gathered together to get rid of him. They thought they succeeded. You know, when our Lord Jesus was on earth, he was the kingdom of God on earth. The kingdom of God had come in the person of our Lord Jesus. Wherever he traveled, he carried that kingdom with him and exerted that kingdom power and influence. He said, if in the name of God, by the Spirit of God, I cast out the demons, then the kingdom of God has come into your midst. And so he did. It's an invasion upon this world. So finally, they got rid of him on Calvary's cross, not knowing that that was the greatest victory that our King had won. There on the cross, he judged the ruler of this world. There on the cross, he spoiled all the principalities and authorities and make a public show of them by the cross. By death, he robbed death of its power. In other words, you'll find he won a decisive battle on Calvary's cross. The two kingdoms came into that decisive battle. And the King of the heavens won it. He ascended. He sent the Holy Spirit down. 120 people being baptized into one body. You know what? This is the first settlement of heaven upon the earth. On a hostile ground, in a hostile land, in a hostile world, an earthly world, the kingdom of the heavens has a beachhead, gain a foothold, establish a settlement in Jerusalem. That's the beginning. In that settlement, that is in the church in Jerusalem, the heavens rule. All the people there live a heavenly life. And their testimony was such that on the one hand, people did not dare to get near to them. They were afraid of them. And on the other hand, they were drawn to them. And many came into the kingdom through their testimony. And then began the Spirit of God began to move. And you'll find more settlements. Some in Judea, some in Samaria. And this foreign settlement, this kingdom of heaven that invaded this kingdom of this world began to grow and began to have beachheads and foothold and settlements all over the world. You know what is going on? Let me use an illustration, because that is the illustration Brother Watchman Nee use. Probably you in this country do not quite understand this, but we in China understand it. You know, after the Opium War, and China was defeated by these foreign powers, and after China was defeated, then there was a treaty between China and its foreign powers. And in the treaty, they demanded that certain cities, ports in China must be open for trade. And in these ports, they set up foreign settlements. In other words, for instance, in the city of Shanghai, when I was brought up, we have foreign settlements. We have a section we call French Concession. In that settlement, the French rule. And we have international settlement. There, the international, they rule. They have their police, they have their judge, and we call it extraterritory jurisdiction. So all those who live in these settlements, they live in China, on the Chinese soil, but they are under a different government. If they commit a sin, they cannot be judged by the Chinese law. They are judged by the law of their foreign country. You know, that is settlements. Now, of course, it's a bad illustration. But it illustrates something. You know, this is a hostile world. And Satan is ruling over it. But Christ has already overcome. And on the basis of his victory, he is able to set up settlements here and there all over the world. And in these settlements, he rules supreme. That is to say, the kingdom of the heavens has come upon the earth in these settlements. And through the testimony of these settlements, or to put it another way, in these settlements, the power that used to roll over was banished, destroyed. So you see that spiritual battle there? The strategy of God is, through the victory of our Lord Jesus, he begins to set up strategic points and settlements all over this world. And in such settlements, the power of the enemy has been destroyed. Little by little, gradually, you find up to the point when you come to Revelation chapter 12, you find a man-child is born. And when that man-child is born, he is raptured through the air to the throne. Now, what does that mean? It means that enough spiritual power has been manufactured. That those who are the Lord's have the spiritual power to get through the air, which is the headquarters of the enemy, and reach the throne. Not only our Lord Jesus has won that victory on Calvary's cross, the church in that man-child has also overcome. Tremendous spiritual power there. You know, when you can get through the headquarters of the enemy, it means that you have defeated the enemy. And prepare the way for the coming of the Lord to the air. How did they overcome? How do we overcome? They overcome by reason of the blood of the Lamb. No one is perfect, but thank God there is repentance. There is humility. There is the availability of the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, their robes are washed white. By reason of the word of their testimony. They have a testimony. And they proclaim it. Their testimony is Jesus is Lord. Jesus is their Lord. And they proclaim it, which is the gospel of the kingdom. And this testimony is powerful. Satan knows. He is a defeated foe. And they love not their lives even unto death. The life there in the original is the soul life. Just like our brothers have said. They are willing to lose their soul life They do violence to themselves for the sake of the Lord Jesus and for the sake of the gospel. They love not their soul life even unto death. And brothers and sisters, it is through the testimony of the church that the kingdom of darkness is completely destroyed. And the kingdom of God is to be established upon this earth. So you see, it is the church that brings in the kingdom. If this is the case, brothers and sisters, the building of the church is not a small thing. Do not consider the church as insignificant. Are we being built together as the church of God? As we are being built together, then we are able to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Then we will be able to pray, "Thy kingdom come." Then through our testimony, the kingdom will come. So may the Lord help us. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, oh, how we do praise Thee, because it is Thy will that Thy kingdom shall come. Lord, we want to agree with Thee. We want to tell Thee that it is also our desire that Thy kingdom come. We are tired of the kingdom of this world. We want to see the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our God and of His Christ. Lord, together we express our desire before Thee. Hear us for Thy own sake. Amen.